Welcome to 20 Minutes and 2 Beers In. I'm JD.
Hey, everybody. This is Bobby.
And Bobby, what episode are we at?
That's a good question, JD.
176.
176.
Isn't that crazy?
It's what, episode 20 of the season, right?
Yeah.
Sound about, yeah. And we're a little delayed. If you follow us on Facebook, you know why. We have a very injured JD joining us this week.
Wow. Very injured.
Well, as you've described it to me, it is the most pain you've ever been in your entire life.
It really has. And I posted a picture on our Facebook page and got a lot of responses and direct messaging from it going, oh my gosh. One person even wrote, awesome. Basically, not that you're hurt, but I can't wait to hear the stories. And I've got stories galore on this injury. And we are going to tackle those tonight. And hopefully you had your dinner already, and it's being digested. No, it's not going to be too gross, but it was one of the most painful and crazy experiences of my life. So we'll dive into that.
All right, and we're also going to be talking about the biggest sporting event that's currently going on.
Yeah,
the World Cup. I
mean, the U.S. Open was
hey,
the weekend,
stop! With your hate.
It was
you're like. I didn't see any of the World Cup this weekend because U.S. Open was really great. You sounded like such a meathead when you were texting me that. You asked me, you said, hey, let me know each day a match that I should watch or pay attention to, and I'm seriously going to try. I said, okay, every day I send you something to watch. And then on Sunday, after the weekend's over, I text you, oh, man, such great stuff over the weekend. You're like, yeah, I have no idea. I was just watching golf all weekend.
It was a very exciting U.S. Open. It really was. I mean, you got to see Zach Johnson with a hole-in-one on number 13 there in Pinehurst. It was a great tournament.
No one cares.
Oh, really? No one cares. We're going to tackle that. Today.
All right.
And of course we've got a wonderful six pack and last call one stop away. I have a feeling we have the same one, so I came with two just in case.
Oh, sure. All right.
Yeah, and I've got some music that I'm very excited about this week.
You're never too excited about it, so we'll rein in the excitement for now. And plus, hey, you know what? You're injured. Don't get too crazy over there, all right?
And there should be a disclaimer. First of all, what are you drinking, Bobby?
I'm drinking a Pacifico with lime, buddy.
Ah, I'm drinking a water that washed down the hydrocodone for the pain in my arm. No beer for me, but...
This next segment could either just be you, like, groaning or going off on odd tangents, or it could be very entertaining, is what you're saying.
The entire podcast could be
yeah.
So strap in and enjoy the ride. And I held the girl closer than was safe. Take what you
want from me. I'm not afraid to turn around. And JD, you're about to tell us a story. I wanted to say before we get into it, you're drinking water right now. Really, you should be drinking like a beer with calcium supplements. Is there a beer that does that? Can we find one?
You know, I learned it's vitamin C you need. It's that helps your bones grow. Yeah, I have to take a bunch of vitamin C.
Well, now that you're fighting osteoporosis, that's a very important thing for you to pay attention
that
to.
That hurts, buddy.
All right, Chalk Man, tell the listeners what's going on.
I'm playing in a company softball league, right?
16-inch, right?
Yeah, playing first base, and the ball's coming to me. We're a little bit all over the place being thrown to first base, but I'm a tall guy, so I could get to most of them. Well, a ball came over and way out of like any sort of reach.
Yeah.
So I ran. I'm in first base, mind you. Ran. It was just to the partway between home and first.
All right.
Right. Out of bounds. And I ran and I was going to do.
And you're not a very fast man to begin with.
I am an extremely fast man.
With two rebuilt knees.
They built me stronger, bigger, faster. So I dove feet first towards the ball because I was going to grab the ball and throw it home all in one motion because the runner was coming home.
Okay.
Well, I braced myself with my left hand, went down, and I had what is called a callus fracture. I heard the loudest snap, like like Barry Bonds snapping a baseball bat over his knee snap, right? And then my arm just inch or so above my or below my wrist, I guess you could say, was bent backwards.
Ooh.
And I am just, I'm laying on the ground.
Did you make the throw?
I did not.
Okay. Is the pain like immediate with the snap?
Incredible. It was intense. It wasn't a compound fracture, but you can see the bone, you know, pushing through.
Yeah.
And so I'm laying there. I'm screaming. My team runs over because everybody, what's the first thing they think? JD blew out his shoulder that he just had fixed, which I had just had my final PT session a week before on.
Hey, you know what? At least that was in shape for this. Yeah,
this is the other arm. So I've officially majorly injured all four appendages. So I'm laying there screaming. You know, I don't even think a profanity came out of my mouth. Because, you know, there's kids around. And so I'm, you know, and then finally I'm like taking a deep breath, calming down. We didn't have any ice. What do we have?
Beer.
A beer. A bunch of beer. So we packed it in beer as I'm laying on the ground. And they're like, do you think you can get up? I'm like, no. And because I move and it flops. Ooh. Because it's broken
in
half.
Yeah, nothing.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I'm laying there and somebody calls the ambulance. Well, the ambulance takes forever. And then Ugg and Mug come. Can he walk out? Well, if he could have walked out of the park, he wouldn't. We wouldn't have called.
Well, in all fairness, your legs were fine.
Well, the first thing they did, they came over. Are you okay? Because I'm wearing a knee brace.
Oh, so they're
and like, the knee's fine, man. The knee is fine.
It's not so the knee.
I have a friend who was on the team taking a video of them putting a splint on my arm, and you just see them pushing into my arm, and it's just jello because there's no connection there. It was disgusting. But I'm cracking jokes as they're doing it.
Of course.
Because that's what
that's
I
how
do.
how you are.
It's how I handle my pain is I'm telling jokes. So get me up, get me to the ambulance. They're like, where do you want to go? Do you want to go to Mercy, which is on the south side, or Northwestern? And I'm like, Northwestern.
Yeah, it's an easy choice.
My shoulder surgery done. Northwestern. Like, okay. And they couldn't have moved any slower. So I'm sitting in the ambulance. My buddy Charles went with me.
Mm-hmm. Charles was in charge?
Charles is my hero. Because this happened at 6:15, right?
Yeah.
And by the time we got to the hospital, and on the way to the hospital, I'm like, guys, I need to lay down. I feel, lightheaded.
Sure.
And then finally he had to be like, dude, he needs to lay down. And so my buddy Charles pretty much did all the work. He should get paid instead of the EMTs. So get into the emergency room, which was the lobby was just jacked with people.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Monday. And I guess it's their busiest day. Whatever. I'm sitting there with my arm in two pieces just rocking because it hurts so bad. Because I don't have any pain meds or anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They got my
it's
name.
It's fresh right now.
Got the information. Got the wrap on my arm. And then we sit and wait. And wait. And wait. It was 11 something at night. They finally came to take x-rays.
Oof.
Now, I've been sitting here all that time with no pain meds.
Yeah, just beer to keep your... Now warm beer.
You hadn't seen any doctor or anything in this splint that they poorly put on. And so then they pull me back for x-rays, right? And still no pain meds in me. They take the dude, Miguel is his name, takes the splint off. And it just flopped. My arm just flopped. And so I'm like, oh. And he's like, go at your own speed. I don't want to hurt you any more than you already do. This is the angle we need it in. Go at your own speed. I'm like, okay. I'm holding it in. Because I do not want to scream too loud, or anything. I'm just holding it because it's so painful. I'm holding it in, all of a sudden. Oh, yeah. Gas came out because I was holding it in so much. And I just look at Miguel and I'm like, dude, I'm sorry, man. I'm trying to hold everything in. So and he goes, not a problem, not a problem, man. I understand you're in a lot of pain. I'm like, good.
Let it all out.
Oh my gosh. It hurts so bad, but that actually felt good. So then they wheeled me back to wait to get for, because they're like, the doctor's gonna look at it right away. You know, and it'll come on back. No problem. So I'm back in the waiting room.
Sure.
For another hour. Still no pain meds. So it was about midnight. The doctor finally came to see me, came in and told me that I had what's called a callus fracture, and showed me the x-rays, and, you know, clearly the bone was broken in half and, you know, it was shoved up into the wrist. And so I'm like, okay. And right then they started giving me meds, which is about time.
Glorious at that point.
6 hours later, why not? And so, like, well, we're going to have to set it. And I'm like, you're going to have to give me a lot of pain.
Yeah, a lot more meds than what I got now.
And so if you go to our Facebook page, I posted one of the pictures. They wrapped gauze around my fingers, hung it from the ceiling. And then I didn't post this one, but they hung weights over my bicep as I'm laying down, right, my arms up in the air, to pull my arm down, to try to pull the bone down to get it back into realignment. It didn't work.
Oh.
And at this point, they had already tried two spots for IVs, and which are still black and blue, as I'm showing Bob on Skype. And then finally, it took two doctors pulling down and twisting, adding more weight to get it into place. And then they put a big old splint on, right? I'm just in... still an excruciating pain.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because of all the tugging and pulling.
Yeah, now they've jostled it for the past, you know, however long it takes to get it in place.
Oh, exactly. And then so then they're like, okay, we're going to send you home. I'm like, okay, it's 2 a.m. now at this point. You know, stop at a Walgreens to get meds, to get my prescription filled.
Yeah.
And still, my buddy Charles still with me every step of the way.
That's again, a trooper.
Oh, Charles was in charge. And I guess I didn't look so good because the pharmacist looked at me. He's like, you need to sit down, son. Like, no, I just need to keep moving, man. I just need to walk around. I think you should probably sit down. So I sat down in a Walgreens eating a Walgreens sandwich because I hadn't eaten dinner.
Yeah, I was going to say no dinner either.
And so I had all these meds in me with no food. Yeah. So then I got home, and it was just quite the adventure. And the interesting thing is, again, I had shoulder surgery in January. It's a long rehab from that. And the next morning I could hear my wife talking to my son going, remember how Daddy had his shoulder in a sling and it was hurt? Well, yeah, Daddy, I remember. All right, well, now his other arm's hurt. So you can't jump on him. Oh, so it's become the norm in 2014 that I have a sling and you can't jump. You can't hop on Pop.
Dad's no fun. No. He's a one-armed dude.
And again, the pain since then has been excruciating. I can't even describe it. And so we would have recorded last year or last week at a time where I would have been out of it from the painkillers and just still in intense pain,
which could have been really entertaining, it could have been one of the worst episodes ever.
Yeah, it could have, but
would have just been JD laying on the ground shouting up at a microphone.
Yeah, but to go 6 hours without pain meds after you broke your arm in half, or your bone, the radius, in half. Yeah,
awesome. Hey, you know what, lesson there, maybe Mercy Hospital is the way to go. Who knows? Maybe meds faster.
Could be. And also, I'm retiring. I'd like to announce my retirement right now.
Wow, okay.
From rec league sports.
All rec league sports.
For the most part, I will still play sports that end in ALF. And your random beer games as far as bags and, you know.
Of course. Well, that's not a rec league sport.
No, but it should be. But yeah, no, I'm done. I'm done. I'm officially done.
Well, if you hadn't moved from being a pitcher to trying to, because Joe Mauer started primarily playing first base this year, you thought, I've got to do the same thing in softball. I'm moving over to first base. That's what brought this on you.
It is. I think so too, because I'm reaching for all these balls. I only played like two innings before I got hurt. And in the first inning, like, I'm reaching for balls and I'm pretty flexible. My legs will, get them under me, get a ball. And the ump is like, oh yeah, you okay? You okay? I'm like, I'll get hurt later in the game.
And sure enough,
I did.
So, well, buddy, in order to make you feel better, I'm going to let you play some music right now. What do you got for me this week?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty excited about this. And I didn't know a new album was coming out by Big Wreck, which Ian Thornley is the lead singer of. And I really enjoyed the group Thornley years ago. And I played a song from Big Wreck in season two. That might have been the end of season one. But this is off their new album, Ghosts, which drops July 15th. The song is called Come What May. Bobby, it is World Cup time.
Catch the fever.
We will win this game. How's that chant go?
I believe that we will win.
It seems too long. Too long of a chant.
It's a really long chant.
I love a good chant, but come on, man. That's way too long. I have to read you something Conan O'Brien said.
Okay.
He goes, professional soccer, that's what everybody's talking about these days. It's not as popular in the United States as it is in the rest of the world, but let's face it, it's been gaining ground. I've been tracking soccer's rise in popularity, and here's what I found. Just 2 years ago, professional soccer was 116th most popular sport in the U.S., right beside foxy boxing and fancy jousting. But thanks to the World Cup, it has shot way up the list. It's got to 22nd next to competitive wrestling and competitive eating. Go get them, soccer. All right. I've made my feelings known about soccer
sure.
on the show for a long time.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to turn over a new leaf, Bobby.
Good for you.
I'm trying to turn
how
over
are, a new How leaf. Are you doing that?
Well, my question is to you. Because the ratings are television ratings, about 11 million viewers for the USA Ghana game.
Yeah.
Put in perspective, 45.7 million viewers just watched the NFL draft.
Sure.
The NBA Finals Game 5 had 18 million viewers. America's Got Talent, a crappy TV show, got 11.2 million viewers. The USA Ghana game, only 11 million viewers. But that's a 20-some percent increase over the last time the U.S. was in the World Cup.
Sure.
And so there is an increase. But
yeah.
My question for you is, what can be done in this World Cup to get people like Conan O'Brien, to get average Joe Sixpack, who are like, no soccer, to get the JDs of the world to embrace it?
Well, really, I'm just going to say I don't think it needs to do that. It doesn't need you. No offense. No offense at all.
Wow.
It doesn't. Soccer doesn't need people who don't care for soccer. Soccer's fine with that. They don't need to bring those people in. 11
Doesn't
million.
Doesn't it need a fan base? Doesn't it need?
It does. It has a fan base. 11 million is a very large fan base. 11 million people? That's
and
huge.
I think part of it also is you've got a lot of professional sports in the U.S., mm-hmm. way more than any other country.
Yeah.
That pay big bucks, and soccer players get a fraction in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
on average than what they do.
So. Yeah.
they've got to get the fan base to pay the top play. You see the cycle?
Well, I mean, MLS is still, it's a successful league. It's been going on for a long time now, and it is...
Earns more than WNBA.
Yeah, well, and it's actually a viable. I mean, not only have they expanded over the years, the teams have all gotten their own stadiums. So that tells you it's a success story for the league. But they still, they don't have enough money to bring in to pay the same amount that over in Italy and Spain and England that they can pay. And they have an exemption in MLS where they can pay one guy an exorbitant amount of money and the rest of the guys make a little bit of money. So that's how they get the stars to come over there. There's like an exemption for it.
That's tough too, because if you're a star, you want good talent around you.
You want to play with the best in the world.
And it's hard to change that. I mean, it's not going to change overnight. I think it might have been starting to change a little bit, and that's why I posed the question to you. Don't you think the U.S. I'm not saying we're going to win the World Cup. I mean, the coach even said we're not going to win the World Cup this year. But finishing high, and providing the drama that a lot of Americans expect in the sports they watch.
Yeah.
Don't you think that would go a long ways?
Oh, absolutely. And this year, I mean, the team has been playing. I mean, look at how exciting that first game was against Ghana. And not only was it exciting with the U.S. winning late, you actually could watch it in real time. Whereas in the past, like 2010, it was over in South Africa. In 2006, it was over in Germany, I think. So it's always had a time battle that you're dealing with. Now it's just a two-hour time difference. So you can air them in real time and people can watch. I think that helps with this World Cup. People aren't – it's not like the Olympics where people are seeing, oh, I already know who won, and then we're going to watch it. Nobody wants to watch that. Now you can watch it in real time. And I think the U.S. is playing an exciting brand of soccer that people are going to get behind. And you see a lot of athletes – I feel it's funny – there's not a lot of I don't know how many celebrities are behind are really excited about the World Cup, but there's so many athletes that tweet about it, that send out, that are wearing soccer jerseys and stuff. I think that's really cool. A lot of the American athletes are really getting into it.
And so it's going to take that groundswell, so to speak. And heck, even if the U.S. would land a World Cup, that might, you know, escalate, you know, the excitement for it. I don't want it.
Well, it'd be a long time. They've already got it decided for 2018. So
yeah. Well, let's jump into the World Cup real quick.
Yeah,
because I have been following Bobby.
I'm very proud of you.
I'm not gonna lie. I didn't follow until the U.S. Ghana game.
Yeah,
and didn't know anything about these teams. But you know, Germany. Do you feel like they are the team to beat after what they did to Portugal?
I mean, they really did a number on them, didn't they? And against one of the best players in the world. But Portugal, I feel like Portugal's not as strong as a lot of people make them out to be. The Germany win is great. I mean, the fact that they put up four and they allowed zero goals from Portugal, outstanding. Germany's a very strong team. That's one of why they're one of the top five, maybe top three teams in the world. But there were also some great shows by other teams. I think, Netherlands has come out and they shocked Spain, who's the number one rated team in the world, and they just laid the wood to them with five goals, only allowing one. And yeah, they had that game against Australia where it was a 3-2. It wasn't as close as the score was, but Netherlands can score goals, man. They can light it up really quick. I think Brazil is also, you got to favor the home team. I mean,
don't you think they're in a relatively easy group too, so that helps?
Oh, absolutely. They'll easily get out of that group. Cameroon has just performed terribly. Mexico kind of limped into the World Cup. They had a couple good showings beforehand.
But that Mexican goalie, man.
Outstanding. Oh, he was brilliant against Brazil. But if you looked at that, I was thinking about that more and more. He was amazing. He had to be. And nobody else would. If you played that game again, he wouldn't be able to make those stops. I mean, he was just luck that he was in the right place at the right time for a lot of those. So I think Brazil has the players that can, they get open, they get opportunities, and you just got to be lucky in order to stop Brazil. So I think there's a few teams that are really looking strong at the start of this tournament.
As we look at this, too, Spain, first team out, defending champion, and England, as we're recording this, could be on their way out after dropping their first two games, Which is a bigger surprise to you?
Spain, absolutely. I mean, England in the last...
Said, even though people were thinking Spain was not a very strong champion.
Yeah, yeah. Because England hasn't been as strong as... The England Premier League is one of the best leagues, if not the best league in the world. But England as a nation, their team hasn't really put it together in a while. And they're a team, I feel bad that this is the end of Wayne Rooney for the World Cup. I'm saying that, I know he's only 28, but in England, I feel like once you hit 30, you're off the national team. I mean, they kicked Beckham out the door when he was still bending the hell out of the ball. But Spain, I mean, Spain being the defending champion to not even make it out of the group stage, that's just shameful. Hasn't happened since 2002.
What about, you talked a little bit about the Netherlands. They looked great against Spain, looked mm-hmm. to be one of the favorites. I think they struggled. We talked about this off air, but yeah. Struggled against Australia. But they got the win.
Yeah.
Do you perceive them as one of the top two or three?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I mean, they were in the championship in 2010, losing out to Spain. They just have guys, Van Persie and Robin can just make plays. And they're so confident right now. They can take on any single team in this tournament and give them a run and be the power in that matchup.
You're seeing a lot of press right now that Ronaldo may not play against the U.S. Mm. And, you know, you don't know how much is posturing, how much to believe.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, Portugal's already shorthanded.
Yeah.
And if they're out, I mean, that gives the U.S. a huge advantage.
Oh, man. And the U.S., the pressure's already on Portugal. So that's why I think he's going to play. He did play against Germany, however effective he was in that game. But he's got to play for them because this game means so much for them. They can't lose this game. If they lose this game, they're eliminated. Right. So they need, and they're already, like you said, they're shorthanded already. One of their better defenders didn't even make it to the World Cup because of an injury. One of their other defenders, Pepe, has a red card, so he's not going to be playing. They don't have enough bodies to...
But I think this comes almost like an Olympic type of thing. You're a basketball player going to go play in the Olympics. An NBA player going to play in the Olympics. You've got an injury mm-hmm. that you don't want to push because you don't want to mess up what you got back the NBA.
Yeah.
And Ronaldo, it sounds like it's a patellar tendon issue. Could you see him sit just for that reason? I mean,
no.
His dollars aren't.
No.
With the World Cup, his dollars are with his day job.
Yeah, no way. I mean, those contracts are guaranteed anyways, but and they're very well insured. The World Cup means more to a soccer player than his club team. That's, that's the big difference between if you're playing for the Olympic, it feel like you're a mercenary. The U.S. basketball team, they're kind of like mercenaries coming out there, but the real thing is the NBA. Or you look at the World Baseball Classic, that sort of thing. The World Cup's not like that. There's so much passion in these countries and so much rests on what these athletes do on a national stage. If you win for your club team, you're a hero in that town. If you win for your nation, that's it. For the rest of your life, you're a hero there.
Wow. We're in Chicago. Where's the place to watch?
There's so many great places in Chicago. Chicago's a great city for soccer. Grant Park, the U.S. Soccer Federation, has actually set up viewing parties at Grant Park. Huge jumbotron. They have a soccer village where you can come early and play games. They have indoor soccer going on in there. And then you can watch out with everybody. There was a lot of fans out there for the Ghana game, and I'm sure it'll be the same for Portugal and Germany. But AO Chicago, the American Outlaws, which is one of the best fan groups in the world, AO Chicago meets on Division Street at Small Bar. So they've actually locked down Division Street because they realize how big the event is. So 50-50 is also being an AO Overflow bar. So is Enjoy, I think. Also, if you're just a fan of soccer in general, you want to watch with a bunch of other soccer fans, you don't care who's playing, go up to the Globe Pub up by you, JD. That's a great soccer bar.
It's a great bar, and I have been there. 8 years now, Bobby. 8 years you've been trying to get me to pay attention. Not even respect. You didn't even ask me to respect it.
I didn't.
Just asked me to pay attention.
Yep.
And you might be getting closer.
Slowly but surely.
Slowly but surely. But my last question for you, Clint Dempsey's rap album. You gonna buy that? He's a great striker and a fan favorite. Is he gonna be a great rapper too?
Oh man, he plays for Seattle now. So you feel like with Seattle, the music history, maybe there's something there that can seep into him and make it okay.
Seattle?
It's not a rap history, but it's a music history, right? Oh, man. It'll definitely be one I listen to, JD. Maybe I'll even bring it on the podcast. Maybe I'll trick you into listening one of the songs like I did with Hanson.
Wow. There you go. Well, that brings us to the end of our World Cup discussion.
Yeah, and JD, I get to play my music now. We got to talk my topic. Now we get my music. And this one I'm pretty excited about, Miniature Tigers. They have a new album out called Cruel Runnings, and this song is called We Used to Be the Shit.
Our six-pack of questions, and for that we need music as always, and we should start that music
now.
World Cup time, we talked about it just a little bit ago. What is going to be in your cup as you watch the games on Sunday?
Ah, that's a good question, JD. There will be libations beforehand. I'm gonna have a little BBQ to get everybody ready for it, and then going to Grant Park, JD, so I'm either at the mercy of the Grant Park, whatever they're vending, or I might have to have the old hip flask filled with something. So we might be, I will probably be going with a hip flask there, JD, with maybe a little whiskey going on during the game. Grandpa's cough syrup. JD, Pete Rose managed the Bridgeport Bluefish for a game on June 16th. Now it's minor league baseball, but so you know it's just for show. But is there really anything that he could impose or teach these guys by just coaching or managing one game?
One game is a publicity stunt. A month, a season, I think he could teach. I think he could teach a ton to these kids, but one game is not going to do it. But you know, every year we're like, it's one step closer to Pete Rose, you know, getting fully reinstated and welcome back with open arms. I still don't think that's going to happen until he's dead. But it is one step closer. Bobby, Tony Gwynn passed away.
That's a bummer.
Is he one of the more exciting hitters you've ever seen?
Oh, absolutely. Especially for our generation. I mean, he is the greatest hitter of our generation. And he's a stand-up dude. I mean, if you look at what he did with the Padres and what the talent that was around him, think about if he was in any other organization and had, like, that dangerous hitter always hitting behind him, or so the pitchers had to always pitch to him. Think about what his numbers could have been then. But, yeah, he had a gorgeous swing. And he was just a beautiful human being as well. So that was a big loss. And I was definitely very glad that I got to He was part of my youth, getting to watch him play baseball. Absolutely. JD, Jimmy Graham's Twitter bio is being used against him in his grievance hearing with the NFL. They're arguing, obviously, he's saying he should get paid wide receiver money. NFL, the Saints are saying, no, you're a tight end. You should be, when you're franchised, you should be getting franchised with tight end money. And part of his Twitter bio says he's a tight end for New Orleans Saints. So that's one of the things that they're using against him. So what I want to know, JD, is what from your Facebook or Twitter feed will be used against you in the inevitable litigation against you?
Ooh. Yeah, I am probably one of the most protective with what I put on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
And you know, LinkedIn and Google Plus and all the social channels. I don't get a lot of personal information out there. I don't have my hometown. You know, I really am very protective of it. I think what's going to be held against me is the fact I've been involved for the last 4 years with an organization that puts out 20 minutes and 2 years in. I think that's really that's the one thing I let slip through the cracks.
Oh man, should have saw that one.
Bobby, J-Lo has a new single, new album coming out, and one of the first videos coming out is called Booty. And it's basically, the video is her twerking for a lot of the video. J-Lo is a mother of, what, twins in her 40s? Is she past the twerking stage?
I'm going to have to see the video for to be able to properly answer this question. Now, I think at this point in her career, her booty was the reason why she got to be a star. And since she tried to be, she tried to take it, be serious. And, you know, I'm an actress, then a musician. Take me seriously. And now to fall back on this just screams, I really want you guys to look at me again. So here's what I did. I went to the gym. I've been doing this for like 4 hours a day. Why don't you enjoy?
Her backup dancers in the video, she scoured the earth for women with bigger booties to be in it. So hers is the smallest booty in the video. It's pretty impressive. That was the thing. I was just like, wonderful casting.
Outstanding. JD, Dumb and Dumber 2, the preview's out. I don't know if you've watched it yet.
Yeah.
My question is, what characters or what movie characters would you want to see revisited 20 years later? So that's what we're getting to see with Dumb and Dumber 2. It's 20 years later. You get to see where they are in life. If you could do that with any other movie characters, who would you want that movie to be made where, hey, we're going to get to see these guys 20 years down the line?
That's tough because, I mean, they're making, you know, the new Star Wars, and they're bringing all those guys back, and that's 30 years down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's necessary for that. I think it's just a stunt. So I'm trying to think, you know, I want to see what Billy Madison is up to now. Yeah, he graduated high school. He's doing some great stuff with his life. Does he make up with Bradley Whitford? You know, how is his life going on?
How is his relationship?
Oh, with Miss Veronica Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how is that going? You know, are there little bitty Billy Madisons? I mean, that screams sequel to me. You know, he's got to now get his kids to go to school. So
you just started writing the movie right now.
That's all you need. You go in and they're like, wow, that's way more than we had for Dude, Where's My Car? So anywho, Bobby, that brings us close to the station. When we come back, last call, one stop away. Bobby, my last call, one stop away, comes from Denver, Colorado.
Love that place.
I didn't know that. That is entirely new information. A Colorado man was accused of smoking meth, and now he's facing attempted murder charges.
Uh-oh.
After he fired two shots at Denver police from a gun. Now, normally I don't bring these types of things because it's sad. You know, somebody's got a problem.
Sure.
And they are rested. I mean, it's the lowest part of their life. So I usually don't bring these to the last call and stop away. Except this. He fired two shots at the Denver police officers from a gun he had hidden in his butt. Yes, he was brought to a police station after officers repeatedly searched him and somehow managed to open fire out of his butt. Now, he stopped firing when the gun jammed, and then the officers shot him in the stomach. He's taken into custody because he was seen smoking meth in a McDonald's parking lot. He had a number of charges, obviously. They say he was aggressive and violent, highly agitated, but they're like, man, we patted him down 3 times, but he still had the gun in his butt. Now, the most interesting thing is he also had 2 baggies of meth stashed up his bum. And yeah, he said he had no other criminal charges other than that, but he did manage to fit all that up there and fire a gun out of his butt. So for that, you're part of the last call one stop away.
Outstanding. Well, JD, my last call one stop away goes all the way to San Marino, California.
All right.
Now, when you walk around your block, are you familiar with the signs? I have these on my block too. They're the people, you know, obviously their yard has been crapped in one too many times. So they have the signs up that say, you know, please pick up your dog poop or curb your dog, stuff like that. You familiar with these signs?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
If you don't have a dog, you're not a dog owner, but you have had. Were you a responsible pet owner? Did you pick up after your dog? Okay.
Yep.
The mayor of San Marino saw this sign, and instead of just obeying the sign and making sure that his dog never defecated on this dude's yard, he took his dog's poop in a bag and tossed the bag of dog poop into that guy's yard. And the way that this guy got caught was that the person that owned the house stepped outside, saw that there was a bag of poop in their yard, and they had a surveillance camera on their house. So they reeled it back, and sure enough, the mayor of San Marino, Dennis Knyer, is shown walking down the street and then casually flipping a bag of poop. He's not even walking his dog at that point. Flipping a bag of poop into this guy's yard.
So he went back with the poop.
Oh, yeah. He went back with the poop. Wow. He carried the poop back and tossed it. And so now he has resigned, claiming it was a lapse in judgment. And he says he understands why this matter has questioning his ability to lead the council. I want to assure you that something like this will not happen again. Now, all that this guy did was he had a sign in his yard that said, you know, pick up your dog's poop. And he also apparently has been, he's opposed a dog park in the neighborhood. That's it. And that brought on bringing the guy flinging a bag of dog poop into his yard.
And the mayor then resigned immediately, where Rob Ford is still mayor in Toronto.
Well, he's just, all he's doing, JD, is smoking crack, running into people, acting crazy.
Sounds like an effective leader.
Sounds like it, right? And I think he's been stripped of all powers. So, yes. Yeah. But it's no match for Poopgate, JD.
No, Poopgate is going strong. So, well, that is all the time we have this week. We'll have a report next week as I watch. I not only watch soccer, hopefully with you, but we will celebrate before the game.
Absolutely, JD. I'm excited for it. Everybody, if you're listening to the podcast, be sure to follow us on Twitter. I've been tweeting when I'm watching games, if I can. And our Twitter account is @2beersin. That's @2beersin. You can also email the podcast 20minutes2beersin@gmail.com. We will see you next week, everybody.
Strap in and enjoy the ride.